questions? Sorry, say it again, please. Say it again, please, so sorry.
Shall I repeat my question?
Please, please.
Yeah. Repeat. What happened to the long baseline project from Japan to Korea?
Honestly speaking, I don't know. But the long baseline in the Japan to Korea is very important in the second maximum in the Korea side. And so Hyper-Kamiokande project is the first stage of the current Japan project in the big detectors. And the second stage, that is a staging project, not approved yet. So the second detector, we don't know where it is set into the second detector is. Of course, Japan is the one possibility, but also the very attractive solution of the Korea is the second option, second, like Hyper-Kamiokande water Cherenkov detector. That's the current situation, but not yet completely decided. Now discussion and proposing, and but it need to the big money, so we don't have any news about the realizations of the Korea detectors. That's what I know. So anyone continue have any opinion? No, okay. So yeah, that is the current situation as far as I know. So, but for my own, my personal idea, my personal opinion, it's very attractive to the look at the neutrino situations. Yes. Thank you very much.
Will we ever see a collider in Japan? What's the status on that? In the back.
Sorry, say it again, please.
Will we ever see a collider in Japan?
Collider?
Yeah, a collider.
Collider, you mean the neutrino emission is the same from the JPARC, that is the Japan side. The collider is the proton accelerators. Put into the target, carbon target, neutrino emissions, and 300 kilometers in Kamioka, T2K, but I forget the length from the Tokai to Korea, I forget the name, the length, baselines, but the same directions to Tokai to Kamioka to Korea side. And the same accelerator is used, collider is used for the neutron emissions for the Japan and Korea. But the collider, it's not a good term, but proton collider to the fixed target. Is it answer to your questions?
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you.
Can I ask a related question? Because I heard about the International Linear Collider in Japan. And so people were questioning if like Japan are going to invest in this International Linear Collider and won't invest in the Hyper-Kamiokande.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
What was your last name again?
My name?
Last name.
Fogel.
Okay, so this is also hard question to me. Okay, so that is ILC, International Linear Collider, the next generation of the collider, which we'd like strongly we'd like to realize the collider in Japan areas. And that is very good and a very fruitful result for the, for example, Higgs as a Higgs factory. Of course, it's a very needs the huge money. And so this is of course we need to do some international collaborations. So from the Japan side, because that is not achieved only the Japan side, but need to the international collaboration is very important. So we are now asking to do that, and Okay, so the as for the related to the Hyper-Kamiokande is also the big project, but money is one order of the smaller than the ILCs. So the Hyper-K is the fortunately realized and approved and realized in the within the couple of years. But the ILC is now still very huge and very serious discussion in the among the not only the science community but also the government and some international discussion is now working on. So yes, we strongly hope to realize, but we don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that is the answers. Is it okay?
So
thanks.
To follow up on that, back in the back again, who is stopping the building of these linear colliders? The government, the scientific committee? Do you blame it on the international relations? Like, yeah. Who's to blame? So in Japan, who is to blame on not building this linear collider? Is it the government? Is it the scientific committee? Is it the international community?
I think this is not the place. This is politics, right?
Yeah.
And we this is a particle school, so yeah. I think
we do not have to answer
this question. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Luisa Cifarelli. May I ask you, concerning multi-messenger events, Hyper-K should be in a very good position, but why didn't we observe more than one event so far? Because there are many merge of neutron stars and so on that have been observed in terms of gravitational waves. What is your opinion about the fact that we do not observe after this first interesting event more multi-messenger?
Okay, so multi-messenger is mainly for the gravitational wave or others? Okay, so first of all, the water Cherenkov detector in Super-K and Hyper-K is too small comparing to the ice cube. Yeah, that is the one thing. So it's also the gravitational wave is the from the for example neutron star merger it's too far away to detect in the Super-K or Hyper-K or some other neutrino detectors. So we are now searching for the coincidence event, neutron coincidence event, but the current observed neutron merger event is that too far to detect in the neutrinos in the Earth. So of course it is happened to be very close to the close to our galaxies. It is possible, but the first one is I heard in some theories how many events is expected. That is a 0.000 something. So that is hopeless. But we look for it. But so the mechanism maybe it's, many of you expect. But the mechanism of the neutron emission is also the hard to. There are many models. So. If we found it, and it's good. And there are lots of multi-messengers. In the previous talk, there are the good blazers, and also the ice cube is detected, and also the Super-K is looked for, but no event because of the small detectors comparing to the ice cube. That is the current situation. And the Super-K and Hyper-K is too small to look for the some. It's hard to multi-messengers. But the supernova neutrinos, that is the possible. And very precise measurement is possible to in the Super-K and Hyper-K. And the gravitational wave will be emit to the from the supernova. For example, the original progenitor is rotated, the gravitational wave is also emitted, is expected. That is predictions. So if you find both neutrino signal and the gravitational wave signal in the, for example, the close to the supernovas, that is very exciting as a multi messengers. So I think there's many aspects of the multi messengers. And from the gravitational wave in from neutron mergers, that is very hard to detect. And Blazer and some as I experimented is very good in the ice cube and KM3 net. And the supernova is very good for the super K and hyper K. So that is the current situation of the so-called multi messengers. That is, sorry, my own opinions. So, okay. Thank you very much.
I've heard about this time where in Super Kamiokande the photomultipliers exploded during the refilling, but with Hyper Kamiokande being much bigger, and I imagine you will have much more water pressure.
Yeah.
Is it a risk for it?
Or? Yeah, very good question. And so we are now all the PMT is some pressure test. Of course, we apply after the accident. We take a cover of the PMT, each PMTs, and as you said, in the pressure is larger than the super K's, and super K there are 4 atmospheres, 40 meters, 4 atmospheres, and 70 meters, 7 atmospheres. So I forget the some numbers, but now we are now doing the test using the old or not the tank in the some old pool more than 100 meters or so, and apply to the sink to the PMTs and artificially broken. And the most serious thing is the broken itself is not good, not so bad. But the most serious thing is the shock wave is emitted after the broken. So in order to shock wave will be stopped, we make a cover. So that test is. The cover is stop or stop the shock wave or not. That is the one test. So clearly it's fine, the current situations. So we believe no such kind of accident ever in the Hyper Kamiokande. Thank you very much.
I had a question about one of the plots in your talk. And you showed us a plot of the number, like event numbers recorded as a function of gadolinium being loaded into the detector. And eventually it plateaus. Mm-hmm. Is that because you just stop loading gadolinium then? Mm-hmm. Or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's just when the loading stopped.
That is the gadolinium is, gadolinium water is loading from the bottom. Uh-huh. And gradually the bottom pure water is removed from the top. So this kind of circulation, because of this circulation, such kind of float is happening.
I see. Okay, so it's when it just reaches the top.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks.
Yes, Professor.
So so it's maybe I'm showing my ignorance, but when you show the atmospheric background to the supernova detection, you show this low energy muon neutrinos that produce a muon, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, what you have is an electron. So why is the electron neutrino atmospheric not be a background? Is because of the energy?
Electron neutrino is also background. It's of course. But the most serious one in the electron neutrino emitted to the electron with the neutrons. That is a serious background. But the energy shape is different. The new E is higher energy, the higher flux. But supernova neutrino is the lower energy, the higher flux. And that is not so much serious. But the final serious one is that we said in the neutral current interaction with the, any neutrinos. Neutral current is neutral current mean the neutrons emitting to the interact with the oxygens, and the oxygen is excited, and the excitation gamma is emitted with neutrons. That is, the spectrum is very similar as the supernova neutrinos. So the final uncertainty is such kind of neutral current. So in order to understand such kind of event, we have to do not only the particle physics, but also the nuclear physics. And I also the now using the nuclear experiment is also to understand that, to reduce that background. Yeah, that is the answer. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Mark Alford. I had a question about the same plot. Is there modeling uncertainty in what you expect the supernova neutrino spectrum to be?
Yeah.
And if you did measure those, is there some parameter that you'd be discovering by measuring it? What is the most uncertain parameter in that, and therefore it would be a measurement of that parameter?
Yes, model uncertainty. Yeah, model is. Uncertainty is the one order of magnitude. So we don't know which model is best ones. So the for the detection things, supernova model does not so much care about that, because the we just detect it or not. If we detect or observe the signal from supernovas, that we check the which model is good. So this is our strategy. So the as an experiment, and just look and check, detect the neutrinos, whether the model is good or not. After observing the supernova neutrinos, we can check the models.
But are you talking about the model of an individual supernova, or are you talking about the model of the supernova population? Which of those would you learn something about? Which of those would you learn about? Would you learn about the individual supernova explosion mechanism, or would you learn about the galactic population of supernovas?
Okay, so you mean the supernova burst? You mean the supernova burst things?
If I understood the question, when you in your calculation, you say you can learn what do you learn from your data? You will learn about the mechanism of explosion, or you will learn about the distribution of supernovas?
Okay, thank you very much. It's a question to do that, because so at first in the super K and the beginning of the hyper K, just the number of event, it is hard to say anything about the model. If it is collecting the data, and you can find some spectrum, we found information more and more. But at the first stage within the couple of years, just detect or not. So it's hard to say anything about the physics. Yeah, that's the answer. So after that, we have to discuss with the some theorists and I don't know. Thank you very much.
Yes. About the supernova neutrinos, I will repeat the question, because if we measured Super Kamiokande, would we obtain any information about oscillation parameters, or even we can make a mass measurement using time of flight technique, something like that, with other detectors? And if so, this mass measurement would be precise enough to be to compare, for example, with Katrin or other experiments? I don't know if
there, as I say, for oscillation, I don't think, and yeah. I don't think you will have to see like the difference between the light and the neutrino. I am talking, it's open.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference between the, all these measurements are always not very precise, I think, for the light. I don't think so.
Yeah, neutrino oscillation is in the inside the star is very interesting, important situation. And the very simple matter effect we found, for example, the electron neutrino and the anti-electron neutrino number is different. For in the beginning of the supernovas, only electron neutrino is emitted, so-called neutralization burst. And the delayed one, all the neutrino is emitted. So comparing to the beginning of the electron neutrino and the latter of the anti-electron neutrinos, so we may find some information to the neutrino situation. But as Concha said, it's not so precise one. And also, it depends on the other models' expectations. So another thing is the very complicated, recently said in the collective oscillations, that is the neutrino-neutrino oscillations. And but it's very complicated, and I think it's very hard to measure.
Maybe you are lucky. If you have a supernova exploding, I don't know, at 5 kiloparsec, then it would be a very nice spectrum.
Yeah.
And then I believe that you can have information on the hierarchy, because you might have one or two MSW transition of the two delta M squared. And that you might be able, but you need the supernova.
Yes, yes. And such kind of information is very important. But some other new supernova models of the time variations, for example, the so it's very depends on the models. So it's it's hard to degenerate of the models and the neutrino oscillations phenomena from the supernovas.
Yes, is there anybody with a question? If not, we thank the speaker again.